Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency. I don't know how you finished your week off, but Maciejczyk just cranked out 31 reps of 225. That's Elijah Herbal type numbers.
No. I think I got 10, maybe.
Okay.
10. I think 10 was probably the best I ever did.
I am not going to even lie to the world and say, yeah, I got two. Jacob Padilla is with us. Jacob, how much can you bench? Let's just go there. Let's make it that tough.
That's going to be one of those.
Jacob's interviews. Just going to hold up his left hand and say, I'm injured. Take off.
It's
better now.
Cleared, just got cleared to start playing basketball again, but did not get cleared to lift heavy weights yet. Let's just go with that.
Yeah, no weight training. I love it. That's pretty good. Jacob, we'll stay with football for a moment before we get to hoops. And Coach Rule finished up with the 2023 class, and we'll talk to Brady Altman's in a little bit. But I want to get your take, Jacob, on, I guess, freshman impact. Not necessarily portal, but freshman impact. And are you just like, you know, talk to me after the spring game? Is that the thought bubble right now? Or do you think there's any freshman, I guess, you're intrigued by that could work? Or let me put it this way. Do you think there's some position switches with some of the kids coming in? Because there's a lot of opportunity, offensive, defensive line with some of the in-state kids that Rule brought in. And, of course, Malachi Coleman, what he can do offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think the wait until spring game certainly to kind of see how the roster shakes out, because right now they're at over 100 scholarship caliber players, at least we'll go with, and the limit's obviously 85, so we'll see how many of these guys are still on the roster once we get through the spring, once the transfer portal opens back up and guys have had a chance to kind of feel things out, see where they are on the depth chart, and decide what they want to do moving forward. I think you hit on a good one, defensive line there, edge guys, kind of just with where they are there. A guy like Maverick Noonan, I think, is a guy that, kind of like Garrett Nelson, can earn his way onto the field. Maybe not necessarily a big role early on, but just with how hard he goes with some of his natural ability. Wouldn't be surprised to see him out there getting a few reps here and there. At the very least, I think we'll see him play the four games to maintain the red shirt. I do think we will see him year one, which probably won't be the case for a lot of the freshmen with kind of obviously they added 11 transfers as well. You got a lot of guys coming back, bodies, if not necessarily a ton of proven contributors at every position. There might be a few spots here or there where some younger guys can push through, but I don't know that I'd ever go in expecting true freshmen, especially with how many of these guys are kind of like developmental prospects more so than like four-star ready-made guys. We know that those are the kind of the guys that Matt Rule and his staff gravitate towards, guys that maybe have the measurables that maybe they aren't great football players right now, but they've got the basis to become ones. And so I don't know that we'll see a ton of early impact. I think it is a little different than what he inherited at Baylor, where basically the whole roster got gutted and he had to play guys freshmen early on. There are upperclassmen here. They've got enough coming back to where I don't think he's going to be forced to play those guys. And now it's a matter of the guys that have been here or that are coming from other programs to kind of hold off those young guys and show, hey, you can roll with us in these roles.
Jacob Bedell is with us here. It's Hail Varsity Radio. And Jacob, how much do you think the spring is going to factor in with these young guys? We know how important it's going to be for these position battles with Nebraska being quote-unquote over the scholarship limit. You understand how important spring ball is going to be for that, but how important do you think it's going to be for some of these incoming freshmen to make a mark early and kind of give the coaches an early indication that, you know what, I'm going to be ready for some snaps this fall?
I think it's most important to the coaching staff in general. You can only learn so much about players through tape study and just being around them. You got to see them out there in real football settings. And this coaching staff, with the guys coming back, with the guys that they just signed, they won't get to do that until the spring, at least for the early enrollees. It'll be big for those freshmen to kind of, I mean, that's kind of why we're seeing so many kids enroll early, is to get that spring under their belt, so they have a better kind of, they're more settled. They've kind of gotten used to the college life thing. They've gotten kind of the adjustment out of the way early on. They've learned what it's like to lift in a college strength and conditioning program, so that once they hit the summer, they're used to everything, and they can just kind of focus on getting better and earning roles. So that's big for every freshman. The difference here is the coaches are also trying to learn about all the guys that are coming back they hadn't coached previously, in addition to learning what they have with the freshmen. So I think looking at the spring, it's more important for the coaches than any individual part of the roster or players or anybody. Obviously, again, spots are up for grabs at every single position, but the coaches have to figure out, all right, who are those best guys? What do we have that we like? What do we have that maybe we need some of the young guys or the newcomers to push these guys and jump ahead of them, maybe, or force them to up their game in order to hold those spots? So there's a lot to get done this spring with where the roster is now.
Jacob Padilla joining us from HailVarsity.com and magazine at @JacobPadilla_. Jacob, to basketball, big one Sunday for Nebraska basketball. A more favorable setup. Penn State's good, not great. Nebraska hung in with them not long ago out in Happy Valley. Nebraska coming back home from an extended road trip. They had moments of competitiveness at Maryland. Turnovers the issue. Same way for the game against Illinois, where they didn't score down the stretch. They were right there in it. But man, and I know you asked Fred about the turnover situation and the cause of the turnovers. Are you surprised that some of the older guys are the ones making the mistakes?
I guess not necessarily surprised. It definitely they have to get better. Like, especially like both what Derek and Fred were talking about today, just the kind of unforced stuff, the sloppy stuff. To a certain extent, when you're like, they really have to work hard to create offensive opportunities. And you've got freshmen stepping up into expanded roles, so with that will come some turnovers and that type of thing. But you can't have the double dribble in transition, the travel in the half court that's not even forced, the kind of one-handed lazy passes versus making the fundamental play there. Like, that type of stuff, you have to clean that stuff up. Like, sometimes the other team's going to force turnovers, and you just have to try to limit those live ball ones in particular as much as you can. They're also creating, committing so many unforced turnovers at this point that it's just not allowing them to even compete. We're just seeing them lose the possession battle game after game, because you look at it all season long, one of their biggest problems has been they can't hit threes. Well, in the last three games, they've shot the three ball well, but the other team is getting more shots because of all the turnovers. Not only are they getting more shots, they're getting transition opportunities. They're getting two-on-one fast breaks. They're getting breakaways, those type of things that put points directly on the board that there's nothing really you can do about defensively. So they're just fighting such an uphill battle because of that. So the good news is Penn State does not force a lot of turnovers. They are 354th in the country in opponent turnover percentage. So if there is a team, if they come out and commit 15-plus turnovers in this game, then there's a serious problem, especially with the emphasis they put on it recently. This is a game where they should be able to slow down, execute their stuff, and hopefully find a way to get good shots up. Penn State's defense is pretty good at contesting shots and forcing misses and that type of thing, but they're not the pressure, forced turnovers type of defense that we've seen give Nebraska so many problems this season. So this is a chance to, all right, settle down, reset, focus on what we're doing well, really lock in, be better focused, and give yourself a chance to compete by possessing the ball.
Jacob, a common sentiment that I've seen and heard is that this team right now, it kind of feels like it's relapsed back into some problems that it faced over the first 3 years of Fred Hoiberg's era at Nebraska. And I want to get your take on that. Is that a fair evaluation? Because some of the things that you just said kind of feel like some of the same things we've been talking about for a couple of years now. Turnovers, rebounding, just really not playing the same kind of fundamentals that you need to win in the Big Ten. So is that a fair assessment on your part, or you think it's off?
I think the biggest problem right now is just talent. Again, some of this stuff is they're having to try so hard to offset that lack of talent, that they're just playing better teams. And that's what we're seeing, I think, more so than them not necessarily doing the right things. Like Derek Walker's not failing to buy in, or like they're not trying on defense. They're not necessarily executing at the same rate, but I don't think it's for maybe the same reasons we've seen in the past. I think at this point, just with where the roster is, they've just lost too much talent. They weren't that talented to begin with, and you lose two of your starters. Now you've got freshmen that are playing a lot more than maybe you wanted them to this year, in bigger roles, and that puts so much stress on your more experienced guys, where Derek Walker has to do so much. Sam Griesel has to do so much that, especially as teams realize that and focus their defense on them, now it becomes even harder. And that's where some of these turnovers come from. And that's how you maybe get sped up thinking like, all right, I got to make a play here. And you try to do too much and get yourself into trouble. So that's kind of, I think right now, most of the problems are stemming from they're just not talented enough. Everything is so hard. The margin for error is so slim. That it's kind of just exacerbating whatever problems they may have.
Jacob, we'll get to high school here about a minute before we got to take a hard break. Big Ten, is Purdue going to go down? Indiana gets to host them tomorrow.
That'll be really fun with the way that Indiana's been playing lately, with Trace Jackson-Davis right there. If Trace Jackson-Davis is going to have any chance at making it a competition for Player of the Year, he's got to come out and dominate this matchup. Obviously, they're coming off the loss to Maryland after winning, what, 5 in a row? Mm-hmm. They get Purdue there in Bloomington. Kempom's got Purdue favored by 2, but that's a game that could go either way. So hopefully it'll be a fun one. Not that fun if Purdue just kind of runs away with things. I'd be okay with making a little bit more of a competitive race down the stretch. And again, just two of the best players in the conference going head to head. Similar kind of production, but very different styles, mm-hmm. very different body types. But they both are the focal points of their team and probably the two best players in the conference.
Jacob, hang tight. We'll get your prep weekend preview here in a moment. Thanks for spending time. More with Jacob Bedilla. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jacob Bedilla for hanging out, going a little OT with us here. Pretty good weekend of hoops. I have not had basketball this week, so I'll have 3 games next week, Jacob. But Motsi has Southwest Northeast here locally tonight. I know it's a busy night in the metro as well, and I'll have Southeast and Millard North Tuesday of next week, which will be big time, and Southeast has cranked out their 7th in a row. Observations from the week that's been, and what are you looking at this weekend?
Yeah, mentioned Southwest, obviously. Down a couple of players. Westside bounced back big time on Tuesday to beat them. Westside, a team that had been struggling, and now Southwest is kind of in their own rut. We'll see if they can get out of that shorthanded against Northeast. I think obviously the big game tonight is Prep at Bellevue West in the Metro rematch of the Metro Final there. I think you got to have Bellevue West as kind of the favorite there, but we'll see if Prep kind of learned anything from that first matchup where they were in it in the first half and just couldn't sustain it for the full 32. But outside the Metro, a big one tonight, I think, is Crete at Wahoo. It's kind of an interesting matchup there. Crete right up there, top 3-4 in B, and Wahoo right up there near the top of C1, coming off the big win over Platteview in their conference tournament. So that's a big one tonight. And then tomorrow, there's some good matchups as well. Most of them later in the night. Southeast at Prep, I think, is a really interesting one, considering the run that Southeast has been on recently, how hot they've been. Obviously, they were at the tail end of all the Lincoln schools, and now they're risen right up near the top of them. So that'll be a big one. And then Pius will get it shot at Bellevue West on Saturday night as well. So those are a few of the big ones this weekend on tap.
Jacob, as you look ahead at Bellevue West's schedule, they're still undefeated this year, but they have Prep, Pius, Lincoln Southeast, Millard North, and Omaha West Side all remaining on their
close.
Schedule.
I mean, That's a close.
They have Bellevue East in there as well, and they have an out-of-state matchup against a team from Maryland. So that'll be interesting. But as you look at that schedule as it stands right now, do you see them falling in the regular season, or do you think that chance at a perfect season is still up there for Bellevue West?
I think it's going to be tough for anybody in the state to beat them at this point. Watch out next Saturday. I'll be there. Just got it cleared. Shout out to Drake Keeler. He's going to cover the Nebraska at Wisconsin game for me next Saturday, so I can go spend all day in Gridiron for the Heartland Hoops Classic. And Bellevue West will take on Bishop Walsh out of Maryland there. That's going to be a tough team. So that if they're going to go down, that would probably be it. If they get through that, obviously, like you said, there's some big matchups down the stretch there, but they've kind of taken care of business in every big matchup so far. They've already beat number two, beat basically everybody by double digits they played. Just beat an undefeated Sioux City East team pretty handily on Tuesday. So Bell West right now, they just look like, and the thing is, they've been winning when they haven't even been playing great offensively. Like they found a way to win decisively when they're not playing their best basketball. And that's a mark of a truly great team. And a team that's on a separate tier from kind of everybody they're playing, where you catch them on an off day and you still can't keep up with them. Everybody's capable of having an off night. It just takes one bad day, a team shooting lights out uncharacteristically. Bell West, shots don't fall for them for it to happen, but they're definitely, I think, the heavy favorite to sweep Nebraska, at least in the regular season. But again, next Saturday, that I have not seen, and I don't know anything about Bishop Walsh, but I know Tino only brings in really good teams from out of state for this event, so that'll be a real test.
Jacob, enjoy your coverage as always, bud, and thanks for spending time with us to talk basketball and some football. Have a good weekend, and we'll check in next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.